And if you're not leaving, go ahead and grab a Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. A couple had mentioned that the theme this past week was Faithbook, which is indeed a play on word from Facebook. But the theme was about faith and building our faith, encouraging our faith, growing in our faith, sharing in our faith, the reward that comes from faith, obedience in faith. Just a number of different aspects about what faith is and how we in our lives ought to be affected by our faith and how our faith ought to show and be lived out. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, this was actually our memory verse on Monday, the first day. It says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." It's a good definition of what faith is. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Having that belief and faith in our lives of the things that God has instructed and given to us. Recognizing that the Bible is the Word of God, and upon it we can put our faith, we can put our trust in our lives and build our faith on that Word that comes from God. Even though we don't see Him, we're still able to believe in Him and put our faith and our trust in Him. And so that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That faith, though, ought to be one that isn't only for us to believe hard enough in our minds. It's not just something that we keep internally and hold on to. Well, I have faith and it's within me and I have it and I'm just going to hang on to it. And as long as I believe, that's all that there is to our faith. It's just believing and having that faith. That faith, if indeed it's there and present in our lives, ought to result in some form of action. That faith ought to be involved in some form of obedience. Hebrews chapter 11 goes through a number of individuals who lived their lives by faith. It talks about just a whole whack of people in Hebrews chapter 11 and how they had faith, but that faith moved them to living. Let's look at verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise." So notice that in verse 8, "By faith, Abraham obeyed and went." You see, it's that faith that led to that obedience. It's that faith that led to that action. He didn't just have a faith which kept him in one place and he's standing there and firm in his belief and he knows in his mind what he believes and so that's all it takes in faith. But rather, Abraham, because of that belief in God, because of that faith in God, because he was sure of what he hoped for and certain of that which he did not see, he obeyed God when God called him. And he went. His faith, that belief that he had, that firm understanding that he had of God, that belief in him, caused him to obey and go when Abraham was called. God didn't even say, "Okay, Abraham, you're living in Ur of the Chaldeans. You're living there now. I want you to go to this specific place, and here's the route that I want you to take, and here's what you need to take. I want you to go to that place, and here's the map. I'll give you the map so you know how to get there." God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans. And he said, "Go to the place that I will show you." So he didn't even have this map of, go west latitude 47, 8.6 kilometers. It wasn't anything like that. He said, "Go to the place I'll show you." Abraham didn't even know exactly where he was going when he left. But his faith, his belief that God was going to provide for him and bring him that which he promised, he knew it was a great land, but he didn't know where it was. That faith caused him to be obedient. That faith caused him to be obedient. And so he went and he followed God's direction. And indeed, that promised land that God had for him was a great land. In Romans chapter 1, turn back to there, Romans chapter 1. in Romans chapter 1, verse 5. It says, through him, and that him is Jesus Christ, through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. So again, that obedience that comes from faith. Our faith isn't just something for us to believe in and then that's good enough for us, but rather it's a faith that leads us to obedience. It's a faith that allows us to practice that which God calls us to. James chapter 2, verse 17. Go ahead and turn there. We were in Hebrews earlier. James is the first book after Hebrews. James chapter 2, verse 17. This was also one of our memory verses this week. James 2, 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. The same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. So that encouragement and that understanding that faith, again, isn't only a believing that keeps us in our own place and in the place that we are, but rather it's a believing and a faith and trust in God that draws us and calls us to be obedient to God, to live out that faith. Not just keep it in and keep it to ourselves, but rather live by that faith. If indeed we trust God, if indeed we have our faith and confidence in God whom we do not see, then as He directs us and leads us, we're going to be active. We're going to follow that. Amen? If indeed we trust God, if indeed we believe in Him and He gives us direction in His Word and says this is the way that you ought to be living in your life and in relationships and in your job, and this is the way that you ought to deal with your family and with your spouses and with your kids, and this is the way that you ought to be loving others and bringing provision. If indeed that's the case, if we believe in Him and trust Him, then that belief and trust in Him, that faith in Him ought to lead us to action. We ought to be obedient to that. Amen? Amen. Amen. We are able to, in our lives, grow our faith. We're able to, in our lives, and actually are encouraged to build our faith. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we don't find the word faith specifically, but we certainly find that relationship that we have with God, which is based on faith on our part. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Paul says here, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Here Paul is talking about and encouraging us to build our faith, to build our walk, to build our obedience to God in our faith, to be encouraging that and strengthening that and honing that and doing what we can, that we don't stand still in the position that we are, the place that we are in our lives. That we don't come to a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and say, well, that's all I need, so that's as far as I'm going to go. I've come to that faith in Jesus Christ. I've confessed with my mouth that He is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. So I've brought forth that most important and pivotal faith in my life. So I'm just going to stay right there because that's all I need. But rather, we ought to be running with perseverance the race marked out for us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says that. We ought to be running that race. We ought to be training ourselves and building ourselves up in the Lord and the Lord's Word and that direction that He gives us in fellowship and communion and worship. We ought to be building ourselves up and not just saying, well, you know, I'm a good enough Christian right now just the way I am. I'm good enough and, you know, God loves me for who I am. Even, you know, I love ketchup on my apples, and so it just makes my whole life, my whole world dazzle. God loves me the way I am, so I don't really need to grow at all. But rather, we're encouraged to continue to grow that faith. No matter our age or how long we've been a believer, to be building that faith up and encouraging that and strengthening that. Not feeling like, well, I'm good enough. I'm a nice enough guy. I do a number of things, and I've checked a number of things off my life, and so I'm a good enough guy. That's all I really need. But rather, Paul encourages us to run that race. To run that race and to grow and to be strengthened in our lives. That we oughtn't be in a position where we feel like, well, we're good enough now. But rather continuing and striving to build that relationship and to build that faith and to continue to be obedient to that which God calls us to, and realizing that each step is an even bigger step of faith as that faith grows and is encouraged. To continue that and to be purposeful and effortful in growing that faith and growing that life and relationship that we have with God. I'll go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Throughout the Word and in Hebrews chapter 11, we also find a reward for our faith. We also find the fact that our faith is rewarded. In chapter 11, verse 13, it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. Now, so far he's talked about Abraham and Moses. He's talked about Abel and Enoch and Noah. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. Now, if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. In other words, Abraham, that great man of faith, he was promised a number of things in his life, the most notable being blessing and land and descendants. And in Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15, it talks about that. That promise that God made with him, that by his faith, Abraham would receive blessing and he would receive land and he would receive descendants. That promise which was given to him, that ultimate promise of his faith rewarded, Abraham did not receive that. Abraham did not receive that. And in fact, even to this day, Abraham has not yet received that promise that was made to him. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. Hebrews 11, verse 39 says, all these were commended for their faith. And all these now isn't only those who were mentioned up to verse 13, but all of those since then. It talks about Moses and Rahab and the people who entered Jericho, Gideon and Barak and Jephthah and Samson and David and Samuel and the prophets. It lists a number of these people who had lived their lives by faith. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. As of the time that Hebrews was written, all of those people of faith, Abraham and Moses and David, these great men of character and of faith and men and women of the Old Testament, at the time of the writing of Hebrews, none of them had yet received the promise that was for them. It says that they were looking forward to a better country, a heavenly one. It talks about them, God preparing a city for them. None of them, at the time of the writing of Hebrews, had yet received that promise. And the truth is, none of them, even to today, have received that promise that God had for them. Verse 40 says, God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. God planned something better for us, for you and I, so that only together with us would Abraham be made perfect. Only together with us. It's only when we are made perfect that Moses is made perfect. It's only when we are made perfect that David is made perfect. Only together with us would they be made perfect. It says a lot about the love that God has for us and for his people, for those who today believe in Jesus Christ or in the future will believe in Jesus Christ. It says a lot about his plan that he has for them, those in the Old Testament, but for us as well. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. After Hebrews is James, and then right after James is 1 Peter. We saw that idea in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, of them looking forward to a heavenly country and the city which was prepared by God. In Hebrews chapter 13, that city, that idea of that city comes up again in Hebrews chapter 13. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 3. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." So this reward that is for us, and this reward that was for those who lived by faith in the Old Testament, this reward is kept in heaven for them. But when we look at Revelation chapter 21, remember we talked about a heavenly country, we talked about the city that was prepared by God. Here we see that this reward is kept in heaven for us. Now turn to Revelation chapter 21, the very last book of the Bible, and in fact the second to last chapter in the Bible. Revelation 21. It says in verse 1 of Revelation 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" Now notice in verse 2, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." Now, what was it that we talked about in Hebrews chapter 11? We talked about this, they talked about this heavenly country, and it talked about the city that God had prepared. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it talked about our reward being kept in heaven. And now in Revelation chapter 21, we see this city, this holy city, coming down from where? Coming down from heaven, the place where that reward is kept, coming down out of heaven and coming and seemingly resting on this new heavens and this new earth, resting on this new earth. The goal of that is that God would be our God and that we would be his people. You see, God's goal from the beginning is communion with man. God's goal from the very beginning is to have that whole relationship with man. He had it with Adam and Eve in the garden until the fall. And his goal, and he went through, Melinda and I took a class called Connecting the Dots that Beth Madison had taught, and it's going through this plan that God has. Starting at the beginning, God's goal and intent and design was to have communion or relationship with man. And in the end, when that new Jerusalem, that holy city, and that new heavens and the new earth are there, we will have that communion, that whole relationship with God, where he walks with us and we walk with him and we are there present with him. And that wholeness of his design, that wholeness of his desire from the beginning will come to fruition. Now, there are a number of things that are going to happen before this. If you look at Revelation chapter 20, it talks about the 1,000 years in which Jesus Christ will reign. Before Jesus reigns on the earth for 1,000 years, he's going to come. And 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15 talk about Christ coming and establishing his kingdom. that will reign, in which he will reign and rule for 1,000 years. Then he hands the kingdom over to God, and that's what we find in Revelation chapter 21. But we see that principle of that heavenly city coming down out of heaven, that place where that reward is kept, and that we will receive it together with Abraham and Moses and those in the Old Testament who lived by faith. That wholeness of God's plan will come to fruition at one time, in one place. That reward that was promised to them, they didn't receive it, and those who have gone before us have not yet received that reward. But rather it will come at the coming of Jesus Christ and then the coming of God to be with men. Amen? Amen. That's a whole sermon in and of itself, and we're not going to get too much more into that. We certainly can talk about that later if you've got any questions. We see what faith is, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We see that faith leads us to obedience, that our lives ought to be living out that faith that we have. We see that we can grow our faith and be purposeful in strengthening our faith. And we see that faith has a reward by God's plan. The last thing that we talked about at family camp was us sharing our faith. That faith isn't something for us to keep inside us and grow within us, that we as a body will just keep it within the body and grow in our faith together. But rather that faith ought to be shared as well. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul quotes the psalmist from Psalm 116, and he says, 2 Corinthians 4, 13, "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak." I believe and therefore I speak. That faith that we have is one that is not for us alone. It's one that God intends and desires to be for all man. But all man is not going to hear unless those who have faith share that faith. Angela Moore on Thursday night talked about this idea, and she talked about her favorite products. And at one time she was having a hard time scrubbing out a bathtub in a new home that they moved, and a new product came on the shelf called Soft Scrub. Of course, this was years ago, so we probably all have heard of Soft Scrub. And she loved it. She was so excited that it worked, she went out and told everybody that she knew about this product, Soft Scrub. You ever have a product like that in your lives where you stumble across it, or maybe a favorite food? There's this new kind of chip that's out, you gotta try it, or there's this new pop that I tasted, man, it's great, you gotta try this new thing. You ever have that kind of thing in your life, this new product or this new thing, and you're just so excited about it, you wanna tell, like, all your friends and the people around you because it's great and you think everybody should be able to have it. Right? You guys ever do that in your lives? Nod your head yes? Sure. We've all done that in our lives. How much greater that faith that we have because of Jesus Christ. How much greater that great gift that God has for us and that opportunity that's available, again, for all man. Better than any product that we might be able to test try or try out and tell our friends about is the wholeness that we can have through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Why would we not then have the same excitement and fervency about Jesus Christ? I believe, therefore I speak. I believe, therefore I speak. Why would we not have that same joy and excitement and compassion about a product? Jesus Christ is not a product, but about something that brings not a clean bathtub, that doesn't take care of ring around the collar, that isn't the best new pop that there is on a market, but rather brings wholeness of life now and in the future. How much more exciting is that than Soft Scrub? How much more exciting is that than Savings Angel, which can save you a few dollars and get you free toothpaste while you're at it? You know, how much more exciting is that than anything that we can buy at Meijer or anywhere else? I believe, therefore I speak. I believe, therefore I speak. That faith ought to be one that we are able to share as well. that we're able to share with our friends, that we're able to share with the people around us, share with those that we care about, and share with those who we think are able to benefit from this. And who's that? Everyone. I believe and therefore I speak. Our faith ought to lead us also to a point where we're able to share that with others. Not something that we're afraid of and, well, what if they think that we're, what if they try it and they don't like it? Well, you know, what if they go to church and they don't like it? What if they do this and they don't like it? Don't worry about it. Share it. Share that great news of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected and coming to earth again. Share that great news of the promise of the kingdom of God that is to come. Share that great news of the wholeness of life and that strengthening of life and equipping of life that we have today because of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in our lives. Share that truth, that faith that you have with others. Let them know. Let them know that good news. So build your faith. Be purposeful and encourage that faith in your own lives. Look forward with hope and assurance to that rewarded faith that is to come at the coming of Jesus Christ. Obey, but allow that faith to lead you to obedience, that you'd live your life according to the Word of God. And believe and therefore speak. Share that faith with others as well. Don't hold it to yourself thinking that you've got it, so that's all that counts. Rather, share that faith as well. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Great God, we thank you for that in which we can have faith. We thank you for being a great and faithful God to us. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the promise that is to come. We thank you for the fullness of life that we have today. Father, give us strength and encouragement as we continue to build our faith on purpose. Father, give us opportunities to be able to share and give us the boldness to do that as well. Father, we desire to obey out of faith. We desire to live out of faith, and we desire to share with others out of that same faith. God, we give you praise and thanks and pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.